Hello, hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Tea with Tina podcast. Today's episode, we will be chatting about something that has been pretty trendy, and we're going to dive into what it actually means, which are cardio zones. You've probably heard about zone training because running has somewhat become trendy this year of 2023, at the time of recording at least. Everything kind of makes its rounds, and you'll hear about zone cardio, staying in zone two for optimal health and optimal fat burn. Well, there's actually five different cardio zones, and we're going to break those down, what those mean. There's a little bit of misconception here, as always, and we're going to clarify it. So sit back, relax, you know, wash your dishes, drive your car, whatever you are doing. Thank you for having me in your space, and let's dive right in. Welcome to the Tea with Tina, your favorite podcast where we talk all things health, fitness, lifestyle, and maybe a little bit of tea gets spilled. We chat all about this in a super casual environment. So grab your beverage of choice, sit back, relax, and enjoy. All right, so cardio zones. There are five different cardio zones, one being the least intense and five being the most intense. Now, I will also say you might have a better understanding, or if you would like to get a better understanding, I would recommend probably getting like a heart strap monitor, because I think they track this the best. I know Polar is a big one. They have watches and straps. I have had experience with My Zones, where they, you know, show you your different cardio zones and working capacities, and it'll actually calculate a custom, you know, max zone for you. Smartwatches do this as well. And like I said, I don't really keep up to date with like the Apple Watch and things. I just have a simple Fitbit to track mainly my steps, and just progress with things like that and movement. But, you can probably do it there as well. And I do believe in the most recent years, the Apple Watch has caught up with the chest straps, but I will say I feel like chest straps will always reign supreme because those are closest to your heart. So I feel like that's going to give you the most accurate reading with things. Of course, nothing's perfect, but whatever you pick, just stick consistent to it, and that will give you the most accurate data. Okay. But let's break down the five zones and what they mean. So when I'm going to be talking about stuff, we're going to be talking about percentages, okay, for each zone. And it's going to be the intensity at which you're working in that zone is the percentage of your max heart rate. So there is an equation you can use to get your max heart rate, okay? And what that looks like is, you can take notes if you would like, okay? You can also Google it, but the equation is 220 minus your age. 220 is like the max beats per minute that like your heart could ever hypothetically beat, so that's why they use it. 220 minus your age, okay? You want to take that number, and that number is actually your max heart rate, okay? And that, for your age, ideally, so as we get older, your heart rate shouldn't beat beyond that level. And there's really no true chance of that happening. Even when I've trained clients with them wearing their heart rate monitors, there was only one or two times where I've seen them hit like that close to like 95% of their max heart rate and above. I did see 100% one time, but this particular client was going all out. Like, it was a very, very challenging workout. So the chances of you hitting that is very slim, but that's where the percentages come in. So, you know, when you hear somebody say like, oh, you know, you want to be 70% of your max heart rate to be in this zone, you're going to take how you can figure that out. You know, use your calculator, do 0.70 times whatever your max heart rate is, 70% of it, and that's how you're going to get it. But typically these zones are going to be in ranges, okay? For instance, like zone one is going to be 50 to 60% of your max heart rate. So if you want to figure out what your zone one is right now, you know, do the 220 minus your age. That number, you want to take 50 to 60% of that, and that would be the range of your zone one. Typically, when I calculate people's heart rates, target heart rate zones, that fat burning, you're working pretty challenging, and you're getting a good benefit zone is going to be about 60 to 80% of your max heart rate. So if you just want a general guideline, I always do that. I'll do 60 to 80%. Some other things to note is fitness levels. So if you are somebody who's a trained athlete, or you're somebody who does exercise regularly, you do pretty challenging workouts, maybe you do CrossFit, heavy weightlifting, you're pretty, you know, well-versed in the gym, and you know, you're not a newbie to this, I would recommend maybe adding 5 beats per minute to your estimated heart rate max. I've noticed that people can challenge themselves a little bit more, so maybe the guidelines aren't always accurate, so you can have that little bit of extra range. Even my zone is really good with this. I've had clients where they'll have their heart rates monitored, and they'll notice that they're hitting their max heart rates like all the time, and they'll actually adjust their heart rate, their max heart rate goals, to make it harder for them to hit their zones. And it really depends on the person. I've seen people, some other things to kind of note about this is, with your heart rate, you know, pay attention if you have any health conditions. Are you on any medications? I've seen people with blood pressure medications, certain like antidepressants and things like that will actually lower your heart rate and inhibit you from getting your heart rate up higher. Some people just generally struggle with this. So if you're somebody, you're like, I'm like dying, but my heart rate's not above, you know, 50 or 60% of my max heart rate. Sometimes this can happen. If you're very tired, worn out, this can happen. On the opposite, if you feel like you're going to get sick, your heart rate, your resting heart rate tends to be higher and it's going to shoot up faster. Some people with fast metabolisms, your heart rate's going to shoot up faster. If you're not as conditioned, you're going to have your heart rate shoot up faster. So it's kind of really interesting to collect data on it. And just from training so many different people, seeing the data, seeing things change over time, seeing it on myself, it is something cool that I suggest that you pay attention to and see. The goal that we want for you, your max heart rate's not going to change. It's only going to change as you age. It's going to go down, so you don't have to work. You don't want to get your heart rate up as high, essentially, right? For safe reasons. But what I want you to notice is your resting heart rate. So your resting heart rate, you know, if it's like 80 right now, maybe you train and you get it down to like 75. That's good. We want a lower resting heart rate. Athletes are often in the 40s and 50s range. So if you can get it between 60 to 80, that's pretty good, like a pretty healthy range for a resting heart rate. With that being said, as you get conditioned, you're going to notice that it's going to be harder for you to get into those higher zones that we're going to talk about, okay? So that's something as well. So when you first start out, which will be kind of an issue with the zones, that was one of the misconceptions that I'll get into in a little bit, but like when you first start out, you might be trying to hit a lower zone, but because you're so deconditioned, you jump up to a higher zone, and you have to really scale back your intensity because you thought you were training at a certain zone, but really, you were training at a higher zone because you're deconditioned. Okay. So again, we'll dive into that in a little bit, but there's a lot of different factors that go into heart rate. And it's really interesting though. Another thing too is the RPE, rate of perceived exertion. It's a great way to gauge intensity. It's a fairly accurate way to measure your training as well. So if you don't know what RPE is, that's a scale from 1 to 10 that you rate your exercises. And I use this informally with my clients. So 1's, you know, it was really easy, and 10 is the most challenging. So that's something to think about too when we're going into these zones is, when you're doing something, ask yourself on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being this was so freaking hard, I couldn't do one more second of it, or 1, this was way, way, way too easy. How would you rate it? You know, 7 out of 10, 5 out of 10? Think of it that way too. It's easier to kind of grasp. You could use this in your lifting, really anything, okay? So now that we have that, let's get into the actual zones. All right, you needed that foundation to be able to understand these zones now, okay? So zone 1, the very light style of training, it's 50 to 60% of your heart rate max, okay? So 50 to 60% of that number that you got. So this is pretty low intensity. It's actually often referred to as a recovery zone. You should be able to sustain this type of activity for hours and hours while also being able to carry on a conversation simultaneously. Many of our activities of everyday life really fall into this category, and you really should be spending a lot of time in the zone 1 every day. So some examples of it could be like walking, if you're gardening, cleaning your house, grocery shopping, just kind of leisure, recreational activities. And the RPE that we talked about, rate of perceived exertion, that's going to be, you know, that 5 out of 10, 6 out of 10 scale. And so you could say, you know, 5's in the middle, right? It's not too easy, not too hard. And I think that fits the bill for all of these things. But it is kind of interesting, just playing devil's advocate. Again, this depends on the person, but think if you have somebody who is very obese, you know, very overweight, and walking, honestly, could be an 8 or 9 out of 10 for them for difficulty. And when they're walking, they may shoot up into a higher zone because they're that deconditioned. So that's something to also take note of as well with these zones. This is just kind of a guideline. Again, as we get into the higher zones, that's why I like to use that percentage of your max heart rate, because that's not going to lie. That's individualized to you. So maybe you do walk, but maybe after 10 minutes of walking, you kind of slip out of that 60% and you go into 70 or 80% for your heart rate. So you actually went out of zone one. And it, unfortunately, but not in a mean way, but it's because you're deconditioned. And, you know, the beauty of it is the more that you train, the more that you get into this, you know, that heart rate's going to come down and you'll be able to sustain it. So just be aware of that. Okay. So that's zone one. Zone two is going to be 60 to 70%. Of your heart rate max, okay? So this is the lowest intensity that we consider to be metabolic training. It's considered aerobic training because the body's able to use oxygen from breath to fuel exercise, all right? And we should be able to spend a long time at this intensity, okay? And you should actually be able to sustain this pace of working out for 2 to 3 hours if needed. So we're going to kind of bump up the intensity a little bit. Some examples are like hiking, rucking, really low intensity running, bicycling, swimming. So those things that aren't as intense, okay? But again, what I see with people, because zone two cardio is very trendy, especially with running, the issue I see is you think you're running at zone two. And I kind of talked about this way back when I did my running podcast. I'll try to link it in the show notes below. But with zone two cardio, people think they're doing it, but then you check your heart rate and you're like in the 85%. And it's like, well, that's why you can't sustain it. You need to like go down to a slower pace until you can kind of sustain that. So whatever, finding that initial pace that you can sustain is difficult, because when you hear zone two, oftentimes it's coming from people who are like trail runners, endurance athletes, and like they could maybe do like a crazy fast speed that's like easy to them, but to the average person who doesn't work out regularly, that's going to be super challenging. So you got to remember, it's personal to you. Really focus on the percentage, focus on your endurance with this. And again, note that you may not be able to do it. Like if you want to jog, if you're just getting into running, you may not even be able to jog at the slowest pace for 2 to 3 hours straight. I think that's pretty reasonable to assume, right? So maybe you start with an incline walk, or you do some intervals and you kind of build up your endurance to get to that, to be able to sustain that zone two cardio, okay? And based on the research, the reason this is so popular is there's just so many benefits to it, because you're pushing your body outside of its comfort zone, but not so much that like you're killing it, right? You don't want to like overdo it. So you get a lot of great recovery, greater longevity, mental health benefits, better aerobic capacity, increased fat metabolism, lower resting heart rate, all kinds of great things here. And research actually suggests that people would benefit from getting at least 1 to 3 hours of zone two cardio in per week. So being in that 60 to 70% range for 1 to 3 hours, think of it in either half hour increments. Maybe you're going for a walk, maybe you're going for a run a couple days a week. So see how you can fit that into your life. And the RPE for this is going to be between a 6 and a 7 out of 10. Okay. Zone three is going to be 70 to 80% of your heart rate max. This is where we're moving from aerobic to anaerobic exercise, meaning instead of using oxygen directly from the breath, we are using energy stored within the muscle cell to contract our muscles. And making that transition can be uncomfortable physically. Yes, it can. You probably know. And if you use a tracker that shows you the percentage, I can tell you when you jump into that like 70 to 80 range, like that's that work, like you're really working range, and you can just feel the difference, which is really cool, but you can feel it in your body, okay? So zone 3 is actually approaching the lactate threshold, which means the body is just on the verge of not being able to clear metabolic byproducts. And we may start to feel the buildup of these byproducts as a burning sensation, aka the muscle burn, right? So that's why you can really sustain these for shorter periods of time. With this one, you're looking at maybe 10 to 40 minutes, okay, for this interval. And if you think about it, if you do like a heavy leg day, that'd be a good example. Obviously, you're taking rests in there, so you're not doing it for the 40 minutes straight. But if we were to say that for running, that makes also sense, because for me, that'd be like a faster jog run. And I would say I'd probably be able to comfortably do it for like at least 10 minutes. And then as I built up stamina, probably closer to 40. And here's the issue, okay, between zone 2 and 3. A lot of people, especially newbies, will find themselves, well, and even the seasoned people, but if you're not educated on it, you find yourself in zone 3 all the time, because this zone, like I said, is where you feel that burn, right? You feel challenged, you're sweating, you're pushing yourself, but not so much where you're like dying, and you can actually sustain it for a period of time, that 10 to 40 minutes. But they probably do zone 3 more than they should, okay, instead of zone 2. And this is where we can kind of lead to burnout or overtraining or injury or too much too soon. So there is some benefit, obviously, of going into this zone. But also remember, it's okay to be in zone 2 and work on skills and challenge yourself, but not necessarily feel like your muscles are burning and dying. And you'll still progress and see a lot of great benefits. And it's kind of interesting, because if you look at the research, zone 2 is more effective at improving endurance. Okay, so if we think about getting into running, again, I kind of did this in my running podcast. If you start with a pace that's going to keep you in that like 50 to 60%, and you know, it might feel like too easy, but you're going to be able to sustain it for a really long time because it's sustainable, right? Often people get impatient and they're just like, well, I want to feel like I'm dying right now. But then it's like, okay, you're not going to be able to stay here. So, you know, zone 2 is better for endurance. And then speed, if you're looking for speed because people are looking to push themselves, you're actually better with that zone 4 and 5, which we're going to be getting into. And that's like where HIIT training comes in and things like that. But the problem is when you're in zone 3, it's very physically taxing on the nervous system. So you'd actually be better, if you're trying to live a healthy lifestyle, to be on the lower intensity end in zone 2 versus trying to live in zone 3. And that actually makes a lot of sense. I don't know how long that research has truly been around. I don't know if it's just surfaced more because it's trendy, but it makes sense as somebody who has kind of experienced this and thought that more was better in dealing with clients like this. This is why I would say, like, probably 70%, at least 70% of my training is in that zone 2. And it feels good and it's sustainable because it's challenging, but it's not too challenging. And I think, again, the trick with this is don't forget, as you get stronger, you're going to be able to push more weight, go further in that zone 2, if that makes sense, right? When we're just starting out, we're deconditioned, so it's not going to take a lot to get into that zone 2. But as we get stronger, you know, you might eventually be able to, you know, deadlift 100 pounds, 150 pounds, and stay within zone 2. Now, mathematically, I don't know. I'm just saying that from example. Like, if you were doing 20 pounds, you might be able to get up to 100 pounds, just as a kind of visual for you, okay? So that's something to keep in mind as well. And just going back to this, zone 3 is going to be a 7 or 8 on the RPE scale. So it's getting pretty challenging. This is, like, what you would want your main lift to feel like. That's usually what I rate the main lifts. You want it to be a 7 or 8 out of 10 when you're training. Okay, but the rest of your like accessory movements and stuff are probably going to be in that zone 2, like a 5 or a 6. Okay, now we have zone 4. This is 80 to 90% of your heart rate max. I have been here. This is usually when I'm doing a lot of sprinting, a lot of plyometrics, a lot of interval training, like challenging stuff that my body's not used to. It's hard. It's intensity, it feels very high. It's an 8 or a 9 to a 10 on the RPE scale, and it's really difficult to sustain this intensity for over a minute. And at this intensity, we're definitely in the anaerobic zone. But something like an example is if I gave my client like burpees for 40 seconds, they would easily be in zone 4, right? Because that's an intense thing. You probably can't do burpees more than a minute long, okay? But training in this zone is actually going to help the body to be able to tolerate lactate, okay, making us more capable of sustaining faster, more intense efforts for longer. So if you do these bursts, they will benefit you, like I said, in the long run, because it's going to build up that intensity and you're going to be able to do more as time goes on, okay? And, you know, you're looking at things like interval training with running, you know, boot camp style workouts, probably CrossFit, rowing, the Aerodyne bike, things like that. Then we have zone 5, the last zone, which is 90 to 100% of your heart rate max. This is the most intense level we can get. Most people aren't going to live here, but you do need to have it on the scale, right? Because we go up to 100%. And this is where the 100 meter dash lives. Very high intensity and very short duration. Okay, so we're looking at the highest trained athletes may be able to maintain this level for 30 to 40 seconds. And even for them, it would be hard. Okay. Honestly, this zone shouldn't be used all the time. I would shoot for about 2 to 10% of your training in zone 5. And it's extremely hard to recover from this. It's a lot of stress on the nervous system. And, you know, I could get into this, but don't forget about the nervous system working out as a stressor. If you are working overtime at work, you're stressed out in your life, you're not eating the best, you're not sleeping great, probably wouldn't do zone 5. Okay, we want to maybe stay in zone 1 and 2 more because it's easier on our nervous system. Okay. But very rarely, like I said, unless you're a more advanced athlete looking to challenge yourself and maybe, you know, try something out and push those limits. Or even me, a good example would be like I'm on the treadmill and a little thing that I do is like the last minute that I have on the treadmill or 30 seconds, I bump up the treadmill speed to pretty much the fastest that I can do at the current point, which is somewhere between usually speed 9 and 10. It's pretty fast. And I'll just sprint it out for as long as I can, 20 seconds to a minute. And usually in this time, I get over that 90%. I think the highest I've ever probably gone with my zone tracker is probably 92 to 95. I really haven't gotten above that. It's really hard. Like you and I've all out sprinted. I've done some really challenging stuff. So it's interesting. Very interesting, right? So everybody's different. With all of this. So like now that you know about all these heart rate zones, like what do you do with it? Well, to keep it simple, for the average person, if you're just looking to feel good, you know, live a long, healthy life, have more energy, reduce your stress, most of the time you're going to stay in zone 1 and 2. You know, you don't have to do all this crazy stuff. Weightlifting, you know, some light resistance training, you're probably going to be in zone 2. Walking, hiking, that's going to be zone 1 and 2. Okay. Yoga, Pilates, that's going to be probably zone 1. If you're a little bit less conditioned, you might, you know, peek into zone 3, or if there's a day or two you want to push yourself a little bit more, you're going to see zone 3 a little bit, but rarely. And it also comes down to training style too. Like me with Hashimoto's, they don't recommend the more intense exercise because my body's more inflamed, and you know, that's just extra stressors and we don't tend to recover as well. My body will struggle to recover more. Like I can do it, but it's not advised. So I try to stay away from super, super intense stuff all the time. Like I actually probably live in zone 2 and 1 most of the time, occasionally 3 and 4. But if you're more of like an athlete or you have a specific performance goal, I would recommend trying to play around with zones 4 and 5, you know, trying to get into more of those intense zones, push the limits a little bit so you can build up your endurance and build up your baselines a little bit. But, you know, for the average person, it's not necessary. Okay. And it's going to come down to you and what you enjoy. So, you know, if you're somebody who likes lower intensity and a slower pace, cool. Like, as long as you're moving consistently and doing something you enjoy, you're getting more benefit than sitting on the couch. If you're somebody who is more high energy and you like to push the limits and you want to push yourself, jump into those higher zones, you know, listen to your body. So There's no right or wrong, but I hope this background gave you a little bit of a better idea of training. And honestly, once I learned this, it really shifted my views on training. And I love the zones because they are literally customized to you and your body type. So they're going to work for you, not the person next to you. And it's a good reference range. So I hope you enjoyed this episode and stay tuned for the next one. And thanks for being here. Bye for now.